Okay, so good morning. Welcome to our 9 months 2020 earnings result presentation. I'm Daniel Lozano, Chief Investor Relations Officer. I'm here with David Ruiz, CEO and Chairman of Grenergy. Also, we have invited Emi Takehara, who is the Structured Finance Director, and will explain her division to you. At the end of the presentation, there will be the Q&A session for sell-side analysts and institutional investors. I will let you know at the end how you can ask your question. Now I'm hand you over to David.
Thank you, Daniel, and good morning, everyone. And many thanks once again for attending on our third quarter presentation. I hope you're all fine. I think this is our third results presentation after COVID. This is taking longer than expected, but hopefully we will be back to some normality anytime soon. Daniel Lozano, Head of IR, will also be presenting this morning. And as he previously stated, we have invited this time Emi Takehara, our Head of the Project Finance Division, to join us this morning and explain our plans and our roadmap for the next few quarters. We have a very active roadmap in terms of project financing for the next terms, and we believe it's really interesting. You get the whole idea directly from her, from the director who is leading this area. Let me share presentation. Okay, as we always mention, the presentation is available for download both in our website and in the CNMV's site where it has been filed this morning. We will first briefly review the main highlights of the period, and we have pretty interesting news. And then Daniel will go through the financials, and I'll be back reviewing the details of the pipeline, which, as we always say, is the best way to understand in which direction the company is going. And finally, I will give the floor to Emi for the focus on the project finance division. We will try, as always, not to take more than half an hour, maybe 35 minutes of your time. And after the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. There is a disclaimer on page number one. Let's get started with the key figures of the company's pipeline and the targets on the second page of the presentation. I believe it's quite important to explain where we are now after our latest updates. We have achieved 5.1 gigawatts of pipeline. We set a target of 5 gigawatts 3 years ago. At that time, we had just over 1.5 gigawatts, and this target seemed really optimistic. But I think we've made it, and we have achieved the target 1 quarter ahead of time. But more importantly, we really want to highlight the maturity and the quality of our pipeline. Again, and this is something we have stressed a few times, if we are not very sure we can make it all the way through to backlog, we write off a project. I mean, we want to make very sure that we have a high quality project, and the new projects we incorporate in early stage status, we want to make sure that they can make it all the way through to backlog. Out of the 5.1 gigawatts, close to 3 gigawatts are either under construction, backlog, or advanced development. And this is giving us a lot of visibility for the projects we are about to commission between 2021 and 2023. Just consider, and we believe this is very important, in the last 12 months, our advanced development category has increased by 1.4 gigawatts. So it's giving you an idea of what we are about to do two, 3 years from now. About our target for construction, which I believe at the end of the day is what really matters for the coming years. Well, as you know, those of you who are very familiar with the company, we have a dual strategy where we are planning to keep in our balance sheet most of the projects that we develop, but we are also selling to third parties an important batch of projects every year. And as an example, out of the 360 megawatts we currently have under construction, 100 of them are currently being built and transferred for third parties. I believe this is very important to understand Greenergy, and this is also a way that we are proving that the projects we produce are highly competitive in the market, and it's also a very important way to generate cash to grow. We have, as we state here, transferred successfully 40 plants in Spain and Chile so far for a total of 400 megawatts. I believe from the first rotation we made back in Spain in the feed-in tariff time back in 2008 to the last rotations we have been doing this year. Our targets for the period 2021-2023 will be between 100 and 200 megawatts per year. About build-to-own, which is becoming already our core business, and these are our targets. We are reiterating our goals for 2020 and 2021. Sorry, for 2021 and 2022. And for the first time, we are making public our target for 2023, which is we are planning to increase by 1 gigawatt per year, all the way to 2.5 gigawatts. With these numbers, we are about to become one of the most relevant independent IPPs in the industry. And the goals might seem ambitious and challenging, but we are pretty, as a vertical integrated company, we are pretty confident we can make it. We do have the pipeline, which is the basic thing. Our development division has proved during all these years that we can produce very competitive projects in diverse markets. We are ready also to, as we will explain later, to increase the number of markets, of countries where we operate. But we also do have the rest of ingredients. I mean, we have a very active energy division which negotiates the right PPAs or hedge strategy for every single project. We have a very reliable EPC and construction division, which is now handling construction projects in six countries at the moment, which is already pretty challenging. Our services division is also growing with the rest of divisions of the company and getting ready for the ambitious goals we have on operational maintenance and asset management. Our M&A division is in charge of finding the right partner and the right exit when we decide to rotate one asset, and I think they're doing pretty well. And finally, our project finance division, which has a very active roadmap, as Amy will explain you later. Going to the next page, just a quick review of the financials. I believe we had a pretty good quarter and a pretty good year so far in the first 9 months, especially considering that it's been a very tough year due to COVID. Our net profit reached 9 million for the period. If we look at Q3, the figure is 4.4 million net profit for the third quarter. Regarding EBITDA, we have reached 18 million euros. This is 8.5 million just for Q3. And we have reached revenues of 82.7 million euros in the period. This is, well, out of this figure, 46 million came from sales to third parties, and 36.7 million came from our own assets, right? Again, we consider these figures are pretty good, especially for this year. and could have been even better if the US dollar had not depreciated slightly against the euro in the recent months. The figures for Q3 are quite good, but let's also consider that some of the deals that were initially for Q2 were somehow, as we explained in the last presentation, delayed to Q3. I think we'd rather prefer analyzing the bill and sale operations. We rather prefer to look at the year as a whole, because there might be some differences between quarters. Our leverage remains as planned. We are currently at 5x net debt EBITDA, and basically slightly lower than the last quarter. Going to some of the operational achievements, very important one is Scudero's plan. The financial close will be announced in the next few days. But the project is fully licensed, and we are already working on substation interconnection. So it's officially under construction. This is a really important milestone for us. First, because it's the first plant we start construction in Spain since 2013. And secondly, because it's the largest one we have accomplished so far. About construction activity of the year, so far we have delivered 132 megawatts this year. But right now we have a very high construction work. We have construction works running in six countries at the same time right now. And fresh news. Well, as we announced, we were analyzing and studying new markets, particularly in EMEA, in Europe. And we can now officially announce that we are started our operations in Italy. It's really a move. We will explain why we consider Italy an ideal market for us later in the presentation. It's definitely one of the most important decisions we've taken in the last few years. And it's consistent with our strategy of moving partially our focus from LATAM to EMEA. So we have a more balanced profit and loss account with part of revenues in US dollars, part of our revenues in euros. We are very happy with our strong presence in Chile, Colombia, and Peru, where we are a very relevant player in renewables. And now we are starting construction again in Spain and moving also to other European countries. And Italy is the first one that we are announcing. So I hand over to Daniel for the financials, and I'll be back with the pipeline. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, David. So let's move on to the financial part. So David, you can move in to, if you can look at slide 6, we can see that in the first 9 months of 2020, total revenue increased by 26% compared to the same period in 2019. The development and construction division increased its sales volume by 26% to a total of 81.3 million euros, driven by the build and sale of plant to international investors. 132 megawatt of solar PV plants were connected in total during the period, including our biggest project up until now, Kiawa. The energy division did not have any sale during the period. However, there will be energy sales coming from the Kiawa solar PV project in the last quarter of the year. Energy sale coming from the wind projects under construction that are expected to be connected before the year end should not be considered significant in the last quarter. The service division has increased income by 39% year on year, mainly due to the connection and delivery of new solar PV plants in Chile, to which the operation and maintenance and asset management service will be provided. Let's go to the next slide, which is number 7, which explains the EBITDA for the period. EBITDA for the period reached 18 million euros, 94% increase compared to the same period in 2019, mainly supported by the D&C division, as I've already explained, with an EBITDA margin of 39% in total. That margin is just considering EBITDA from third-party sales. As I always want to mention, just for clarification regarding D&C EBITDA margins, the sale of a solar PV plant has several invoices with different EBITDA margins depending on if it is an initial SPV sale, normally with very high margins, or an EPC milestone invoiced after execution with margins of around 10 to 15%. That's the reason for the fluctuation in margin between periods. The average EBITDA margin for 2018-19 period was around 30%. Now, if we look at slide 8, you will see how Grenergy invested 8 million euros during the third quarter, mainly in the project under construction of Costen, 0.6 million euros, Duna Wambos in Peru, 1.2 million euros, and Solar PV Quillagua, 4.5 million euros. CapEx is expected to grow in the last quarter of the year with Duna Wambos final disbursement and Escudero construction start. Moving on to slide 9, you can see how our cash balance position at group level evolved in the third quarter of 2020. From a starting cash balance position of 32.3 million euros, it has been affected by a positive EBITDA of 8.5 million euros. Impacted negatively by the change in operating working capital of minus 17.3 million euros. Then the growth CapEx that has already been explained was financed mostly by project debt, 8.2 million euros. Some minor amortization and short-term debt of 1.9 million in total and some insurance rate difference to get to a finance balance position of 20.8 million euros. Finally, let's look at slide number 10. Our overall leverage has decreased slightly to 5.0 times net debt EBITDA. We still consider there is ample capacity for financing new projects and to be able to achieve our IPP targets. Furthermore, please consider that as soon as those plants under construction start producing the EBITDA, overall leverage should decrease. Okay, and now I'm going to hand you back again to David.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. So going to slide 12, to page 12, it's, I think you're all very familiar with this table. We like to stress the fact that we have over 5 gigawatts of pipeline, and this is a great achievement for us. As you can see here, 4.4 gigawatts is coming from solar, and they're very important new things. For the first time, you can see here some early stage pipeline in Italy. You can see the plan of Escuderos is already under construction, and this is a very important milestone for us after 7 years with no construction activity in Spain. We keep being very active in Chile, as you can see, moving part of the early stage to advanced development and part to backlog and business as usual in Chile. And also some activity coming up in Colombia. We expect part of these plans moving to backlog very, very soon. No big changes in wind from the last presentation a month and a half ago. But we really expect that the wind projects will get connected very soon. And in the next presentation, they will not be here. They will be in operation already instead of under construction. and working very hard in our new wind developments in Chile and Peru, and looking at new opportunities for wind in the rest of the markets where we operate. Continuing on page 13, we like this graph to show and explain the status of our pipeline, as you know. Our pipeline, well, we have a lot of visibility of the projects coming up, starting from below. You can see 103 in operation, 360 in under construction, and 322 backlog. So altogether, we have more than 680, considering under construction and backlog. This is basically telling you how we're going to meet our targets for 2021. And looking at advanced development, we have a big increase here, more than half gigawatt from the latest update. And that's giving you an idea of what the plans that we are planning to commission in 2022, 2023 are here. And early stage is going to fit basically our targets for 2023, 2024. That's roughly the whole idea. Continuing on next page 14, as we always do, we give visibility on park by project by project. Well, this is what we have under construction now. You can see Scudero's plan here of 200 that in the previous presentation was backlog. And well, as you can see here, we also have 100 megawatts that we are building for third parties, as I explained in the earlier on in the presentation. This San Miguel de Allende in Mexico. We are planning to commission this plan in Q1 next year. And we keep consistently building and transferring PMGD projects in Chile to third parties. And we will keep doing that in the next quarters. Concerning our backlog, you can see that it's very concentrated in Chile right now. We have the second phase of Quillagua we are now looking at the PPAs. And, we still believe that this second phase is completely ready to build and should get connected to the grid before the end of 2021. And we have two batches of PMGD projects. Those 120, Amy will give you more details, but we are also expecting the financial close of this package even before the end of this year or very, very early next year. And those are part of the portfolio of PMGDs that we are planning to keep for ourselves. And you can also see some and have some visibility of parks that we are planning to sell to third parties sometime next year. And these parks are already in backlog. So it's close to 100. Moving to page 15 and about, the advanced development projects. Those projects will be connected sometime between 2022, 2023. We are working very hard to close the PPAs for this first batch here of projects in Spain. It's in total is 660 megawatts. And once this binding agreement for PPA is achieved, this will be moved to backlog. In Chile, also some of the PMGDs will be moved very soon to backlog. And we have now incorporated in this update two new large projects in Chile, Víctor Jara and Algarrobal projects in the north and the center of the country. We are also holding negotiations for 10 on Gabriela projects in Chile. About Colombia, we have more than 100 megawatts now in distribution projects. Many of these parks will be moved to backlog once we announce our first PPA in this market. Okay. Sorry. Okay, in page 17, a very important slide. We have already advanced some information in the highlights. We are reiterating our targets for 2021, as we have explained. This is coming from Escudero's plan, the plans that we have in backlog in Chile, and some plants that we expect to connect at the end of 2021 in Colombia. And we are reiterating our target for 2022, which is coming mostly from Spain and also from some plants in Chile and Colombia. And as we promised, we are now including our targets for 2023, which now might seem ambitious, but we're pretty confident that they're achievable. And for the first time, we're including some plans for 2023. This is 3 years from now. So we're pretty confident that at least 100 megawatts could get connected in Italy this year. We are now building already a speed of 500 megawatts per year. Keep in mind that in 2022, 2023, you might see that the numbers in terms of megawatts are larger, but just consider that also the size of the plants is also much larger than now. It's definitely a bigger challenge to build at the same time 7-8 plants of 10 megawatts, which is what we're doing in Chile, than building a single plant of 200 megawatts in Spain, that what we're doing in Escuderos. So just consider that when analyzing what we are about to do in 2022, 2023, where we are talking about much larger projects, particularly in Spain and Chile. In this chart here, you can see how the picture will look like in terms of megawatts. Spain would account for 45% of the total megawatts, and LATAM for the remaining 60%, for the remaining amount, and Italy will for the first time represent some percentage here. Final slide about Italy. It's, as I stated before, a very important move for the company. It's a larger market than Spain. I would say 25-30% larger in terms of generation. And we really see that the situation in Italy is very similar to the one we had in Spain around 2 years ago. I mean, there are plenty of PV developments. There is this wave of development, but still there is room in the grid for new projects. And there is really room for opportunities. Very few PPAs have been announced so far, but we see a similar path than the one we have witnessed in Spain in the last 2-3 years. Unlike in Spain, the government has very clear targets. In this case, from 10 gigawatts, well, in Spain, as you know, we are now around 10 gigawatts, and there's a goal of 30 gigawatts for 2030. And in Italy, they're planning to move from 20 gigawatts to 50 gigawatts as soon as 2030 megawatts. So there are 30,000 megawatts of solar coming up in the next few years. And this is really a great opportunity for a company like us. Yeah. There are some challenges, obviously, in the market. There are big differences from one region to another. We are focusing mainly in Basilicata, Sicilia, Puglia, and Lazio. But the way that the projects are developed differs from one region to another. It's more capital intensive. I mean, it's more expensive to develop in a country like Italy than in a country like Chile. Projects are not as big as Spain, basically because the land is an issue. The land is scarce and more expensive to lease. And we need to create clusters of projects, but this is something that we are very familiar with. We're very used to do this in countries like Chile and Colombia. And we can benefit from our experience of creating these clusters of projects. And our target for Italy, as you know, we always try to become a relevant player in the markets where we operate. So we really expect a pipeline above 1 gigawatt in the next 2 years in this market. So thank you very much and for your time again. And it's now Emi's turn to focus on the project finance division.
Okay, thank you very much, David. So moving to the next slide, we're presenting here a snapshot really of various deals that we have structured across Latin America and more recently in Spain over the past 5 years. I think it's a pretty good summary of the division's trajectory. So as you might know, Greenergy was the first company to finance PMGDs in Chile on a non-recourse basis. We started financing projects totaling 6 megawatts with a development bank, IDB, and then progressively worked towards increasingly larger portfolios of projects with local banks in Chile, such as Security Bank, which is now one of our key relationship banks. The willingness of commercial banks to finance this asset class raised the interest of a lot of international banks. And this truly opened the door to new flexible financing structures to finance very large portfolios of PMGD's projects. And we are currently working on such a financing of more than 100 megawatts with an international bank. As you can see on the slide, we have geographically diversified project financings across Latin America, and also a mix of solar and wind projects. We notably financed 2 wind projects, one in Peru and the other in Argentina. More recently, we closed a bridge financing in Mexico for a solar project of 35 megawatts. All of these 3 projects were awarded long-term power purchase agreements from government's renewable auctions. However, we also structured financing of solar merchant project. We raised more than $60 million with 3 local banks in Chile to finance a 100 megawatt project, Hiagua, which was connected a few weeks ago with great success. I think what's important to take away today is that Greenergy's strategy is now clearly focused on large scale, on large financing, given its promising pipeline of utility scale projects. So let's look at the future financings of the company. We highlighted here in light green the new projects that will be financed in the short term to medium term. So as you can see, total debt could amount to approximately $500 million. That's a significant amount of financing to be raised. As you can see, we're currently closing a 200 megawatt solar project in Spain, Los Escuderos. But we have also more than 600 megawatts to finance in Spain just in 2021-22. As you all know, Spain benefits from a solar resource that is unparalleled in Europe and is, as a result, I would say, the most dynamic market in terms of financings and growth expectations with, as David mentioned, expected solar capacity increase from 10 gigawatts today to nearly 40 gigawatts by 2030. In Chile, as mentioned earlier, we are currently executing a financing of a portfolio of PMGDs of approximately 120 megawatts with an international bank. And we will also work on the financing of the second phase of Kiawa next year, an additional 100 megawatts. This will consolidate basically our leading position in Chile as a company with the largest number of solar projects connected to the grid as of today. We will also be adding a financing in a new market, as David mentioned, Colombia, where we are currently developing a portfolio of about 60 megawatts and we are and we are in discussions with several local as well as international lenders and DFIs. In terms of process, I think it's worth mentioning that we always mandate banks following a competitive request for proposals process, which always involves national and international lenders, as well as DFIs, if this makes sense for the country and the project. On the next slide, you can see, you perhaps know this slide, but I think it's very interesting to get an example of a typical project finance structure for the company with a senior debt of approximately 70, it could go up to 75% of total CapEx and a mezzanine tranche of about 10%. So the structure very much depends, of course, on the cash flows of the projects, whether there's a PPA or it's a merchant project. The amount of mezzanine debt could vary. But I think this chart gives you an idea of the structures that we are targeting. In this example, Greenergy is providing 20% of the equity, but is also making, of course, a development and construction margin which means that the net equity percentage to be injected in the project is closer to 8% or even lower in some cases. As you might all know, financial structures on a non-recourse basis can be very flexible. The projects that I mentioned earlier were traditional bank loans. However, we cannot rule out the financing via project bonds to achieve perhaps longer tenor or even short-term facilities on a non-recourse basis, perhaps in relation to our build-to-sell strategy. So we have a great variety of options to finance projects. To conclude, I would say that we have a strong track record and we are well prepared to finance the promising pipeline of the company. In terms of financing outlook, I would add that the market drivers are extremely positive. Commercial banks, both national and international, have a very strong interest to finance renewable energy projects in Europe and Latin America. You're seeing ESG targets, including higher amounts of green investment every year. We're also seeing, I think it's interesting, very much a higher interest of from institutional investors. I'm talking about medium-sized private debt funds, large pension funds, insurance companies. They're really willing to finance renewable assets, both with contracted and uncontracted revenues. The COVID-19 has been, I would say, a true test for the sector, which has proven extremely resilient. As you've seen a high number of financings, M&A transactions executed year to date in Spain, where the pipeline and the interest from investors remain extremely strong. Pricing, just to give you an indication, for these transactions are almost back to pre-COVID levels. And I think that despite, you know, possible waves, COVID waves across Europe and the US, we believe that the recent news of vaccine and the positive outcome also of the US election should send very positive signals to the market and therefore limit volatility. I'm happy to answer any question. I was quite general, but happy to answer any questions. And I will now hand over to David for the conclusion.
Thank you very much, Emmy. I think Daniel Wright is time for moving to Q&A session. And we are more than happy to get your questions. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So now we are moving to the Q&A session. If you have any questions, please send a direct message to the administrator using the chat available in the tool. You just let him know that you want to ask a question. You don't have to write the content of it. And please do not mute the microphone during the question. Okay, thank you. Okay, I think we have Flora Trindade from CaixaBank. Hello, Flora.
Yes, hi. Yes, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I have a few. The first one is on the execution. So just on your structure, do you think that you have enough structure to carry out the target capacity additions, or can we see an increase in these costs in the coming years? And also in terms of financing of these capacity additions, you shared your strategy in terms of financing and project financing, but can we assume that you could be looking into other means? And I'm specifically asking on the potential sale of minority stakes or a potential capital increase. If you can comment on this, I would appreciate. And then secondly, more on your PPA strategy. So if you can make some comments on how are you seeing the PPA market evolving in the markets where you are present. And also, if you could share with us, what is your expectation of the target 2.5 gigawatts you have for 2023? How much will this be under PPAs? And then finally, on the DNC, so you reiterated the targets in terms of megawatts, but is it possible to share with us your expectations in terms of contribution from this unit to your cash flow? Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks very much, Flora. Okay, I will reply to the first question. Is about our current structure. We definitely are looking for talent all the time, and is one of when we make the risk assessments in every board is really one of the main points that we are now considering. That it's considering we are in a very hot market industry. It's really a challenge to recruit new talent, and in COVID conditions, it's even more difficult, right? So we are working very hard. I mean, when we became a public company 5.5 years ago, we were a company of 40 employees. We are now a company of 150 employees. I think we now need to move from a company of 150 to a company of 300 employees, maybe 2 years, 3 years from now. And this is very challenging, but it's definitely one of our key priorities. We want to be a great place to work. We moved to new facilities at the beginning of this year. Unfortunately, we still have not been able to enjoy them, but in our headquarters in Chile and in Madrid. And it's really one of the main points of any renewable energy high fast growing company at the moment. So it's a really good question. The cost will obviously increase, but also our volume is definitely increasing at a faster rate. So our productivity, I think, per employee is growing faster. About your question about the I think Emmy has explained you basically the way we're financing our projects, and we now the net equity we need per each financing will be between 10% and 15%, considering also our development and construction margins, right? So far we have been rotating assets very frequently, and this has been the way that we have been financing and generating cash to finance our growth. We will keep doing that. As you mentioned, there is an option to also sell minority stakes and still keep a majority and keep consolidating the plans in our perimeter. That is because so far we've been transferring 100% of the ownership of the assets. But it's definitely a possibility that we could explore in the future. And also it's a possibility that we consider a capital increase, and it's in our plans in the midterm. I think we are one of the very few public companies in the industry that has not accomplished a large capital increase, so we might consider to do it in the near future if we believe that is in the interest of the shareholders. About merchant and PPAs and our strategy concerning PPAs, I think if I wrote down well, this strategy differs from country to market. To country in Spain right now, we are looking at hedging around 80% of the energy sales of one particular project, and we are comfortable with an exposure of 20% to merchant. In Chile, we are more bullish on merchant, so we are more comfortable with 60% PPA, 40% merchant, and this is. This is what we're looking at. And in countries like Colombia, it's a different type of PPAs. It's a pay as produced. And so basically we sell 100% of the energy and a pre-agreed price. And we are managing to get longer tenors for the PPAs. In Colombia, we are reaching 15 years, while in Spain, the maximum we are in private PPAs, we are looking at our 12 years, and in Chile is maybe closer to 10 years. So if you look at our strategy for 2.5, I believe that a large, except for the PMGDs, that it's the distribution assets in Chile, because they have this special regime of stabilized price. So we don't need a PPA there. For the remaining projects, it will vary from 60% to 75-80%, or in Colombia will go to 100% with a PPA. That's basically the situation in every market. It's really becoming challenging to get a PPA just for a solar project. And I think this is one of the key points in the future. And also, we believe in countries like Chile, we are now closing PPAs 24/7 for base load, where we can put together a solar plant and a wind plant. And also this way, we are able to approach base load 24/7 PPA in the market. So. Basically for Floride, I'm not sure if I'm answering your questions or if you need any further clarification.
Yes, perfect. Thank you. It was very clear. Just spending the one on DMC, so I don't know if there is any, just trying to see the contribution of DMC also into the own generation assets. So this could help funding as well, the targets you have for capacity addition. So I don't know if you have any target or expectation of how much this could contribute in the coming years.
Oh, you mean DNC, you mean development and construction?
DNC, yes, yes.
Okay, DNC, okay. As I explained in the presentation, we have an opportunistic approach here. I mean, it's not just about transferring 150 megawatts per year, so it could be, I think in 2021, we are targeting, as I explained, there are already 100 megawatts in backlog in Chile that we are thinking to transfer to third parties during next year. I believe next year we will be closer to 150, and the years after we will be more looking at, closer to 200. Where is this coming from? Mainly from Chile and Colombia. It's really an opportunistic approach for us. I mean, why we rotate some assets in one market and we don't do it in others is basically about the size of, I mean, we have a very big size of PNGD projects in Chile. We're very lucky to have that. So we're going to keep some for us, our own portfolio, but we also want to have a diversified generation portfolio, so we don't want to have like all the eggs on the same basket. So we are very happy rotating part of the projects to third parties, and the same will be in Colombia. We have our targets for Colombia. We are happy to keep 100 next year, 100 the year after, but our pipeline is larger than that. So if we see also some very interesting DNC opportunities. Our M&A department is always looking at opportunities in to rotate assets, and we will keep doing that in the next few years.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Flora.
Thank you, Flora. Okay. Okay, I think we have Daniel Rodriguez from Fidentiis.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my questions. I have just one question on the on installation cost, especially because I have been reading in the press that apparently in China there is a shortage of glass, and apparently the cost of glass to produce panels has increased substantially. I don't know whether you are perceiving this situation, and more importantly, whether you are perceiving an increase in the prices of modules and panels that could impact the installation cost.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. Yes, you're right. Now, in the last 2 weeks, we are hearing about this shortage of glass, which is affecting the manufacturing of panels industry. To be honest, there are always some issues with concerning manufacturing of panels, whether it's floods in some factories or whether it's COVID And just let's remember that early this year or at the end of next year, for us, COVID was just affecting China and our supply chain. And I think it's more a supply and demand market, and this is why it's important to understand. Right now, we are buying panels in terms of US dollars at levels of around 20-21 cents per watt. This is higher than 6 months ago in COVID. After COVID, there was a big reduction in price. We at one point, we were witnessing prices of even 17, 18, down from 22, 23 at the end of last year. So honestly, we don't expect big reductions of the cost of panels next year, right? I think if you look at the roadmap, they're gaining efficiency, right? But we're okay buying already procuring panels at very competitive prices already, right? But I think for Q2 next year, we just procured the panels for Scudero, so I have the information very fresh. It's about 20-19 cents. For the second part of next year, they are expecting some reductions, maybe to down to 18 per watt, but it also depends on how the markets will evolve. Now the U.S. market, due to Joe Biden's, is expected to grow faster than before. But again, the main market here is China, which is still accounts for 35-40% of the global demand. So we don't expect big reductions, but also we don't expect that the price will go above 20 cents per watt. This is our perspective in terms of for panels.
Okay, many thanks. Very useful.
Thank you.
Okay, I think now we have George Guimaraes from GB Capital. Hello, Jorge.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you hear me?
Yes. Yes. I think so, more or less.
Okay. So I have two questions. Firstly, doing some follow up on Daniel's question on cost on capex costs, is it possible to elaborate what type of cost for solar PV? I mean, we are talking about for next years, and if possible, with and without development margin. I mean, the most simple metric, euro million per megawatt. With and without development margin, this would be the first one. The second one would be, what is your view about long-term development rate in build-to-sell and margin? So how many megawatts would you see as the normal run rate? And what type of margins are we talking about? And finally, I had a major question about funding, but you mostly answered it on your answer to Flora. But I would like to do some follow up to that, and I would like to understand your leverage capacity at holding level, and a final one, just a detailed one. The asset you want to develop to build to own in Colombia in 2023. Is the one that is on the pipeline for 2022, the 104 megawatt, which goes under the name Distribution 9 project, correct? And this would be the full question.
Okay, thank you, Jorge. Just I didn't understand very well your third question about the leverage of.
Yeah, sorry, David. What I want. You mentioned that you want to finance the expansion through asset rotation, through possible minority sales, and you did not exclude a capital increase. But on top of that, I wanted to understand if you can raise more debt at the holding level on top of over the next years to fund the growth effort.
Okay, you mean the debt at corporate level, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Okay, so let me ask this question first, Jorge. If we don't plan to raise new debt at corporate level at this moment, but if at any point we raise new equity and we reinforce our balance structure, I think there might be room for more bonds. As you know, we issued some green bonds at the end of last year, 1 year ago, pretty successfully, and I think it's been a good experience. But honestly, if we don't increase our level of equity, I don't think we will. We have a covenant there, and we need to keep the levels there, the ratios. And unless we increase our equity and we increase the size of the company, I don't think we will go for any further bonds. This is our view. Well, thanks. I mean, we have, as I explained before to Flora, several options, right? Traditionally, we've been rotating assets. We are very lucky that we have these very liquid and very attractive projects, particularly in Chile, and we believe we are building very attractive projects now in Colombia too. And we always have this possibility. We have the possibility of selling minority interest in the larger plants. So far, we have not explored that option, but well, it's also a possibility. And then we have the equity and debt. So we have plenty of options, and we'll let you know, I think, very soon in which direction we are going. About the CapEx, about the cost of CapEx, well, with and without development, I think being an integrated player, vertically integrated player, it's really attractive at this moment. I mean, I believe the price of energy will be more challenging in the future. So for us, that we develop the project in-house as a much lower, we bear a much lower cost of development than other players, that they need to go and buy the projects from third parties, from other the local developers. And in some cases, they are paying prices that we believe are not really that consistent, right? So we really think that having a very attractive in-house development is really important to keep this sustainable growth. Just keep in mind that, as Amy explained you before, in a typical now of finance, we do consider also a cost of development, the development fees, but it's no more than maybe $20,000, $25,000, $30,000dollars per or euros per megawatt, when the market is paying more than 100,000 euros per megawatt in some cases, right? So this is for the build to own division. When we are selling projects to third parties, that's the reason why we are making 30-35% gross margin on because, okay, then the value, the whole value of the project is there, right? About the CapEx cost, right now we are, as I explained to you before, we are now around 400,000 euros per megawatt. This is the cost of the plan for a large plan. If we are talking about a PNGD or a smaller plan, definitely is higher than that. It's maybe might be 450,000 euros, half million US, just for the PV plan. But you also have to consider the interconnection cost, which is normally between $25,000 and $75,000 per megawatt. And that really depends on changes on one plant to another. So right now our CapEx, the cost, the COGS is maybe 450 thousand euro, and 200,000 of that is coming from the panels and installation of those panels. Okay, so normally these are the numbers. We expect some improvements, but we don't think that we're going to see the cost of the plants at, let's say, 300,000 in 1 year from now. It's definitely going to take longer than that, because in most of the materials we are already buying at very, very competitive prices. And I think you asked me about Colombia too. Let me share again the presentation.
I was asking if the project in slide 15, the 104 megawatt project in Colombia, is the one that you will keep as built to own.
Well, the project in Colombia, this 104, which is currently, those projects are nearly ready to build, but these are not in backlog yet, because we still have not signed the binding agreement for the PPA that we are currently negotiating, right? But these plants here, these 104 megawatts, will feed these 66 megawatts that we are planning to keep for ourselves at Emi's plane. I think Emi explained you that we have this deal in Colombia. Look, we are targeting at 90 megawatts in total, but we expect that 60 megawatts will be connected in 2021, and the remaining will be connected in 2022. But also we might consider that part of the portfolio in Colombia, that you can see is larger than that. In Colombia, we have close to half gigawatt, but also will be for build and sell deals. Okay, so from the projects we have in advanced development are fitting our targets for 2021, and also part of 2022, but we have many more projects in early stage that will fit our targets for 2022, and also we'll have some room for beyond sale deals. Jorge, I'm not sure if I... Yeah.
Okay, yes, it answered my question. So the final one would be on the long-term build-to-sell objectives in terms of megawatts and margin.
Yes, we will. We are also considering some projects to be for the M&A activity in Colombia.
Now, sorry. And on the build-to-sell division, on the long term, I was asking about the long term run rate of megawatts in build to sell beyond 2023, just for us to have an idea.
Well, it's hard to predict in such a long term for us in an industry like ours, right? But we want to keep a consistent. We are very happy. Some other players, they don't rotate plants at all. We believe it's very healthy. I mean, I know we were pretty comfortable rotating between 150 and 200. I think this is what I have outlined for 2022-2023. We still have no targets for 2024, but okay, if you look at the size of our early stage pipeline, you can have an idea where we are planning to be at 2024. It's still, I think, too early to predict the run rate, but at least we will keep the level of 150 and 200 megawatts per year, right? We might expect that at that time, this is 3-4 years from now, the cost of 1 megawatt will be lower, the capex per megawatt, so we might even go above 200 megawatts of transfer assets in 2024. And we also might see some minority transfer of minority interest in larger plants, because there is a great interest of some investors like pension funds or renewable energy funds of this type of for this type of assets.
And should just to finalize, should we expect an EBITDA margin? Long run EBITDA margin could be on the 10% to 15%, right? IFRS, I mean.
Well, this maybe Daniel, you can help me with that, because I think in IFRS, if you look at the margin now, if you compare to our total sales, which is including the plants we're selling to third parties, well, you can see that the EBITDA margin there is much higher. It's even closer to 30%, 30-35%. But if you compare to the total sales, which also includes the plants that we are building for our own capex, that there is no margin there. So definitely the ratio goes. So it really depends on the more plants. So in IFRS.
Okay. Thank you very much for the clarification. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Jorge. Bye.
Okay. So I think we don't have further questions. Also, we have run out of time, so we can finish presentation though. So David, if you want to end the presentation.
I'm fine. Thanks very much again, all of you, for your time, for your questions. And well, we will see you in February once we publish the full year report. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.